Okay, let's continue on with this and get into this first part of Lazarus and the rich man. It's in Luke 16, starting in verse 19. I'm just going to go through it. We're going to read it. And I'm not going to try to explain it. Let's just go through it. And you will see, as we go through, your mind is going to work, and you're going to realize, oh my, that's right. And remember, none of the other churches out there, well, they're just organizations, they don't know. None of that old ministry out there, they don't know. Their minds are still closed to this. They'll come if they're first fruits, and we'll welcome them. Starting in verse 19 of Luke 16. And there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared scrumptuously every day. Hey, this is living the life of Riley here. This is really good. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. You all know Lazarus. That's why they used him in the Bible here. He's the one resurrected. Can't forget that. And so using a good parable, you know, Christ is zeroed in right there, and it made it a little bit better to understand. So a certain man, a beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at the rich man's gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. I mean, this is a putrefying mess here, isn't it? You imagine this? Envision this in your mind. Verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died. So this beggar died. And was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Now, obviously, this is a parable, because no one's carried away into Abraham's bosom, are they? You're dead. They either burn you or stick you 6 foot under. And there you wait. You wait that resurrection. It's like King David is still there. Then this parable goes on. Boy, now this is really getting hot in here. Well, literally hot here. It says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. So this rich man is being in torments. Lifted up his eyes. He's in hell. And sees Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried, and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger into water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Boy, he had a pretty good deal on earth. Doesn't look like he's got a very good deal in heaven, did he? He didn't buy his salvation insurance. See? If we wait long enough, some idiot will go out there and sell that, and people will buy that too. But he didn't buy this, see? But Abraham said, Son, remember that you, in your lifetime, received the good things. Well, you had it all. You lived high. You lived great. And likewise, Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted. He is comforted. But you are tormented. You're tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, he's talking to this rich man, there is a great gulf fixed There's this great gulf. It's fixed. Can't be changed. Can't be moved. Can't cross this. So that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. And they can't come back and forth. This is fixed. There's this gulf. It's separation. Obviously, there's this flame on the one side, and it looks pretty nice on the other side where Abraham is. Then he said, I pray, therefore, Father, that thou mayest send him to my father's house. So this rich man is talking about now his father's house. He says, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Yeah, I don't want anyone else down here. This is terrible. This is bad. Abraham's deal is good. This, where I am, the rich man, this is bad. Go, please, send somebody and warn, see, some of my brethren there. And Abraham said unto him, remember, pardon me, it is a parable. Abraham said unto him, they have, all of his brethren, they all have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, oh, nay. Sounds like a horse. Nay, Father. Father Abraham. But, if one went unto them from the dead, you know, why not, like, send Lazarus or somebody, or yourself, go. If somebody came from the dead and appeared unto them, well, they will repent. They will change. They will change their way. That seems reasonable, you know. That seems reasonable. It's in this parable, remember? 31, and he said unto him, if they hear not Moses, hey, they've got this written down. Here it is. Everyone has this. It's the Bible. He says, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And that's absolutely true. Somebody comes popping out of the ground. You think people are going to follow them? Ah, some nutcases will. Unless you have God's Holy Spirit, that's the only way that you would understand that's a miracle and actually change your life, because God's Spirit would be changing your life. Otherwise, it's just a nice magic trick. So now there it is. Wow. What does all that mean? Well, I'll tell you what United, Global Living, all the rest of them out there tell you. Well, let's see. It certainly shows that you had better grow in character. You had better do your deal while you're here on this earth. Because if you're not, obviously, there is this hellfire. And it's a parable, but it's showing hell. And it's showing the kingdom. Now, if you don't overcome, if you don't make the right choices, you don't develop character, you don't do all these things, I guess hell is there. How can you get around this? That's what the parable is showing. You know. The parable is showing that you should choose. Now, these are the ministry. You should choose like me. Like I have chosen. To do good, and then you'll be saved too. Well, I think we see through that. I think that's another bowl of those peanuts, right? You know, we can see through that. I was talking with someone here in church before. And we're talking about this choice. And if God gives you a choice now, well, is there going to be a choice later? And I said, well, that's interesting, because if God gave you, and they fight for this religion of choice, if God gave you the choice now, watch out here, is He going to take your choice away when you get in the kingdom of God? Or is God so stupid to allow you to have choice and rule over yourself in His kingdom after He's given you all of His power? We can start laying odds here and taking bets, because some knucklehead is going to choose the wrong way in the kingdom of God. And then guess what? Oh, we got Satan deal all over again, don't we, in their plan of things. If He's not going to give you choice in the kingdom, why would God be so stupid to give you choice now? Oh, you had choice under Satan. And look at all of your lives. Didn't turn out so good, did it? You were sinning. That's where your choice got you. You don't have any choice. God comes, opens your mind with His Spirit. You start to see His law. You start to obey. And you start to yield. And you are humbled in front of the great Creator God. And if you're even half smart, you'll keep your mouth shut, won't you? And watch the salvation of your God. But some of us dummies open up our mouth once in a while to Him. We actually think that we could, like, you know, in this one particular situation, I think you ought to listen to my opinion on something. How dumb is that? He makes the moon stay up there. Now, when you can do that, then maybe we'll listen to your opinion. But until you can, just be quiet, please. You know, don't be foolish in front of God. He loves you. Be quiet. Learn from your Father. That's how this works. And once all of us now are starting to learn that, look how much you're learning. How much talking are you doing? A lot of learning. There's a man once at one of the feasts. He was there with another man. And the other man was talking to me. He was all excited. And he turned to his friend and said, well, come on. Why don't you say something? Why don't you get talking? Talk. And this man just sat there. I'll never forget it. He sat there and said, well, if I'm talking, I can't learn. And I'm here to learn. I went, well, that's true. That's true. Very simple, but true. So the whole world looks at this. The old church looks at this. All our spiritual people from the past look at this. There it is. There's hellfire. And if you don't do it, You're gonna clean house right there in that place in hell. You have to choose, and you have to be good like me. Follow me, and I'll take you into the kingdom. Well, we're not gonna follow human beings. Follow Christ this time. Now, all of you can explain this the right way, can't you? When we were reading through that with the knowledge that you have, you started to see something. And you said to yourself, oh, wait a minute. This rich man, all of that stuff. Well, let's see now. Is human beings going to be burned up? No. Who's going to be burned up? Satan. Oh. This rich man must be portraying Satan here. Ah. And Lazarus, Lazarus is going to be with Abraham and all this. It's showing what, you know, God's kingdom is going to be. Well, that, I guess Lazarus is representing the whole great harvest, all the people on earth, because they're all going to be in the kingdom of God. Oh, I see. Well, what else is this kind of showing me? Well, let's see. It talks about that flame, and we know he's going to be burned up, Satan is. And he certainly did have all the good things of this earth. I mean, he ripped the flesh off of the bones of the people, took all the wealth, maneuvered everything his way. Yeah. What did human beings have? Yeah, 40,000 of children dying every night because of no food, sanitary conditions. Yeah, that doesn't sound like it's a good thing, you know. And you go through a little bit, let's see, Lazarus had all the evil things. Yeah, all the evil things were on the human beings all this time. And there's this great gulf fixed there. Yeah, Satan's going to hell. Mankind's going to the kingdom of God. Yeah, and there is that. You can't come back. He's not going to let Satan come over that. No human being, of course, would go in the other way anyway. Well, what about this going to his father's house and the five brethren? Well, I don't quite understand that deal. But I understand that the law of God was there from the beginning with the Moses and the prophets, and that's what testified, and that was the law. And I know that the law, because of the law, because God put that law, he will have the ability under that law to kill Satan. Because there's no sacrifice for Satan. And he broke the law, and he will die, and he'll die forever. So look how much you understood. Most all of you understood that. Do you know what a miracle that is? What a miracle that is? That's a mind. That is a mind that is starting to get in tune with Jesus Christ and the Father. That is a mind that is being opened up to the true plan of salvation and starting to understand the very glory of God and what He has coming. It's a mind that is beginning to see the absolute evil and to start to have that hatred toward evil, which is Satan, which is the beginning of all understanding and knowledge and wisdom. That's what's in all of your minds and all the churches out there. Now, 6 months ago, 2 months ago, a week ago, 3 years ago, you didn't know that. And you would have explained this the same way that anyone else would have. It's a miracle, my friends. Don't think there aren't miracles today. You are a living miracle, what God is doing. And He performs it in His church. We know that when the rich man here says, well, they'll repent, they'll change. Well, we all know the scriptures that says they cannot cease from sin. They can't cease from sin. They were made that way. So everything gets very clear, doesn't it? And we also know that Satan and all those demons, they saw Jesus Christ. They saw Him come. They saw Him baptized. They saw Him receive the Holy Spirit. They know He was the Son of God. They killed Him. They saw Him resurrected and sit at the right hand of His Father. Do you think that they would believe? No. They can't. They can't. They never had a choice. And neither did any of us. Thank God for that. They were made to do this. And He uses this parable to do that. And that's what we all got out of this. Amazing. That's just amazing. Don't ever feel sorry for yourself. Think, well, maybe God's not working with me. Maybe, you know, oh, poor. No, look at what he's doing to you. Forget the physical. The physical is not going to be with us. And the physical problems are going to be gone. And health problems, all of that stuff. I mean, we are bodies that are all in this room, and every one of the churches, we're all dying. The day we're born, we begin to die. That's what it is here in an uncircumcised world. Bad fruit, bad trees, bad everything. And it all will die. But by the glory of God and his love for us, he has given us his Holy Spirit. He gave us something of himself, which was holy. I should give a sermon someday on what holy is. They call the Pope the Holy Father. While he may be a father of whatever he's got going down here, but he ain't holy. He has nothing holy in him. But there is a Holy Father, and he is holy, pure, clean, perfect. And he put that in each one of us. He's not working in your life? Oh, yeah. Is there still a lot to change? Oh, yes. Just like Paul. He said, I thank God that my mind serves God. I'll paraphrase it. Because my body runs out and does all this sin, you know? And that was after like 30 years of being an apostle of God. Resurrecting people. Still had sin. But that's what that parable is. Now what we want to do is start to break this parable down. Let's start to take different elements of this and prove what we all thought, rightly so, what this thing meant. And for people that are hearing this for the first time, some of the other ones out there, your eyes will be opened to what God says about this. We let God distinguish here what this is. We don't do it, well, I think it's kind of this. No. We don't think anymore. Well, we think, but generally wrong. But we we want to do it God's way this time. Enough of Satan's way. Now let's learn God's way. So what's this rich man? Let's start right in the beginning there. It talks about there's this certain rich man. And he was clothed in purple, fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. Wow. Got a lot, got it all, doesn't he? We're not talking, brethren, about human beings that have some money. Not at all. I'm talking about Satan, the devil. We will see that Satan, the devil, is this rich man. He's this rich man of the Bible. I plan on doing a number of sermons on just that subject in the future. Don't write in for it. You'll get it when we got it. But let's go over here to James. James 5. We just set a little background. One of God's apostles are talking about what is going on here. James 5. And we know he's describing these satanic beings here. And not mankind the way that we always put that on. Just start reading in verse 1. It says, James 5, 1. Go to now, you rich man, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Again, who is going to go through the hell? Who is going to go through the real misery? Satan and his demons. It says, your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. They don't have the garments of righteousness. These aren't men. These are the satanic beings doing this to men. It says your gold, your silver is cankered. This not right. And the rust of them shall be a witness against you. Yeah, because at the end, they end up with everything. See? And then Christ comes and says, hey, what have you done with the people? What have you done? You stole it all from everybody. You're supposed to be ministering spirits. And you raped them. You stole from them. You took all the pleasure away from them. Kept it for yourself. And shall eat your flesh as it was, if it was like fire. We have heaped treasure. You have heaped treasure together for the last days. They certainly have. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down the fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, and cried, and the cries of them which have reaped have entered into the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. You know, you use them as slaves. You didn't give them the bounty and the plentiness of everything. That's why 40,000 children die every day. Because he's stolen it. He's hurting God's creation. It says, you have lived in pleasure on the earth. Yeah, show me all kinds of human beings that actually like lived in pleasure. They're always beaten down. I don't care if they had money or not. They weren't happy. There wasn't anything there. And Ben Walton, you have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. Which is like the sheep being led to slaughter. You are condemned and kill the just. Many other sermons we did. Who is the just? They're the people. And he doth not resist you. This thing, this rich man, this Satan of the world and all of his demons and his family have torn God's children to pieces under his rule as he is God of this earth. Turn to Revelation 18. Starting in verse 3. It says, for Revelation 18:3, we're kind of breaking in here. It says, for all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. We know this is talking about this great beast, this satanic thing, and what it's done to the entire world. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. See? All of these things. So what it says, live scrumptuously. And all these little merchants and these demons and everything else have merchandised the people of the earth to their own whim and to their own way. In verse 9, and the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. Oh yeah, their little father is going to die, and they're going to see it, and they're going to die. And all the people of the earth that they used are going to see all of this as well. Verse 11, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. Well, who really is their merchandise? What is this really talking about? Well, who is the real merchandise here? Well, we'll keep going. Verse 12, the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple.
Ooh.
Well, that sounds like that rich man. Yeah, purple, fine linen, all this wealth. The silk and scarlet and all this precious woods and all the manner of vessels of ivory, the manner of vessels of the precious wood, the brass and the iron and the marble. All of this stuff, all these, the cinnamon, the odors, all of these things, the ointments, the frankincense, the wine, the oil, the fine flour, the wheat, the beast, the sheep, the horses, the chariots, the slaves. Just seeing what it says here, the bodies, the slaves, and the souls of men. Oh, now we're getting to the real merchandise. Because without the souls of men, without the bodies of the men, what's the other stuff? Is not. They work through human beings. They use human beings. No human beings that they can dwell in. Now they have a problem. Now they wander all the dry places, and they have torment that way. 14. And the fruits that your soul lusted after. It's talking all here about Satan. Are departed from you, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from you. And you shall find them no more at all. You won't find them anymore. You just won't find them anymore. Verse 15. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. They do it, and they've done it to this earth. Verse 23. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in you. There's not going to be any life in you, Satan. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in you. See, in that great last day, with that marriage, the bridegroom and the bride, the church, you ain't going to hear that. Son, you're out of it. You're going to be destroyed. For your merchants were the great men of the earth. For by your sorceries have all nations, they've all been deceived. They were all deceived. This is Satan and the great men of the earth. Those are all the demons and all everything they're doing. Yeah, they use mankind. But they're not going to be able to anymore. It's just a foul, wretched thing that Satan has done on this earth. There's a couple other things about the rich man. It just says it in Proverbs 18. You know, when you know the plan of salvation, and now you read these scriptures, it starts to show a picture. And you see that the Father and the Son and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit has been writing this all down from the beginning in this book. And it's filled with the plan of salvation. And is always looking to the great last day. Proverbs 18:11 says, the rich man's wealth. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. And as a high wall in his own conceit. See, he puts everything in the physical. And he gathers all this wealth around. He lives by that. I don't know how they enjoy this or how they do it, but they do. And they're playing their game, which is all evil. In Proverbs 28. There's so many scriptures. I have a whole page of scriptures. I'm only going to read a couple of them. Chapter 28, verse 11. Says, the rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that hath understanding searches him out. You know, these things are so vain and vile and evil. They actually think they're going to fight against God, and they're going to win. Now that's stupidity at its height. It's one thing to go into a battle, but to go into the battle against the absolute power of the universe and think that you could win? Duh. You know. Micah. Let's turn over to that little book of Micah. We call them the minor prophets, but I've never found anything minor about them. I guess because their books aren't quite as long as the other ones. But they got a lot in this. Micah 6, verse 12. For the rich men thereof are full of violence. Who's filled with violence? And the inhabitants thereof have spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouths. We know they're the inhabitants of this earth. There's a lot of different studies that you can do on that when he refers to them. And without knowing, you would think, well, he's talking about mankind. But he's not. We didn't know how to see this before. So, of course, we misinterpreted it like most people out in the world and most of these religions. And you know, it wasn't right at all. Turn back to 1 Timothy. I guess we're not going to get too far in this study, but we'll continue on next week and solve that. 1 Timothy 6, verse 9. It says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and unto many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drowned men in destruction and perdition. It really does, brethren. And you know, that happens with all these demons and Satan. And you do see a small effect on human beings. Because on this earth, God's not giving wealth. Satan does. And you see people with wealth and see what happens, especially if they didn't have it before. And then all of a sudden they get some wealth. Boy, do they think their opinion is important. You just can't tell that. Well, I have some money, so I must be important. God must be blessing me. Oh yeah, the God of this world is blessing you. And look what it does to you. It tears you away from the brethren. It'll always do that. Or you're with the brethren and you feel bigger and better than the brethren. I've seen it in church 1,000 times. See some of these little runts running around the church? All of a sudden their dad dies or something. And they get a little money. Boy, all of a sudden the guy's 7 foot tall. He's a legend in his own mind. And he actually thinks he is somebody. And you see the difference in their speech. And, oh, they make great pronouncements because, after all, I got some money. It's the same every time, and it happens to all. And there are no exceptions. It is wonderful, however, to see some men occasionally that have some prosperity. Of course, they've been broke, you know, 5 or 6 times in their life, and they finally have something. And they share with God's church. They share with God's people. They don't make money a god. It's a tool. And if it ever happens to you, just use it as a tool. It's not important. It's not going to save your life. Doesn't mean you're better or bigger than anyone else. Doesn't mean your opinion is better. But God does allow that on occasions, and He causes the people to be very generous and very kind and very good. And you can see they're converted. And if they lost the money tomorrow, it wouldn't change them. It didn't change them. And that's good. That's good when that happens. But it just happens so often the other way. It's actually funny. You know, as soon as someone gets some money, you can just sit back and go, ooh, watch the change here. Act one is coming, and it's always the same. It's always the same. Because Satan's the same too, remember. And his ways are the same. And he doesn't change either. He can't change. God's perfect and doesn't change. Satan is evil. He can't change either. He cannot cease from sin. While we're back here, let's go to James. He's got a couple of scriptures here. James 2:6. All on the same subject. It says, but you have despised the poor. James 2:6. You have despised the poor. You've despised your fellow man on this earth. That's what he does to people with his riches. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Oh yeah, they all think they know it better. Always works that way. Satan can only work one way. James 5:1. Not sure if I read that or not. Yeah, we already read that. Had that in here. About they will weep. These rich men will weep and howl in their miseries. Oh, it's coming. You don't think, Satan actually believes that God forgets. That God can forget. And he doesn't forget. I'll just read this. It'll save us a little time here at the end. Over in Zechariah 11:4, it says, thus saith the Lord, my God, feed the flock of the slaughter. Aren't we the sheep going into that slaughter all the time? It says, those possessors slay them and hold themselves not guilty. For they that sell them, these are the merchandising again. It says, blessed be the Lord, for I am rich, and their own shepherds pity them not. And this is the way it always is. Now, that's just a few scriptures on this rich man. I mean, you know from other sermons that I have given about this rich man that it is Satan the devil. It is Satan the devil, and that's who he's talking about in this Lazarus and the rich man. And it gets very plain. And we have the scriptures. We're not making something up. It's very plain. And we're going to go through. We're going to go through the poor in the gate. And eating his crumbs and the sores and the dogs and Abraham. What do you mean comforted? And this great gulf. We're going to go through all those scriptures. And you're going to see it laid out. And then we'll go back and read this again. And you'll see it just laid out right in front of you. It's a great miracle, brethren, that any of us know any of this. Let's take heart. Let's help one another. Let's pray for one another. Let's forgive one another, because we all make mistakes. Even though we try to help sometimes, we make mistakes. So let's forgive one another. Let's get back on the track. Let's just go right on forward and keep striving and waiting for that great salvation and that kingdom of God. So again, pray for one another And we'll continue this next week. So at this time, we'll say goodbye for this week.